Okay, we're picking up the last daf of Maseches Nedarim. Very exciting with the Gemara on Tzadik Amud Beis, five lines from the top with Amar Rav Papa. Badik Lan Rava. Rava gave us a shaila. He was discussing, sharpening our minds. Ishus Kohen Shenensa, with regards to a Kohen's wife who was raped, so therefore she becomes usher to her husband. We know that only, right? That's only a case of a Kohen who's married. If his wife is raped, he's not allowed to be with her. Yesh laksuva o ein laksuva. So the shaila is, now obviously he has to divorce her, so when she gets divorced, does she get the ksuva payment or not? So what is it studim? Kevan to onis lagabe kohen keratzon lagabe yisrael dami. Generally we compare the case of a kohen, a wife of a kohen, when she is be'onis, right, she's no longer allowed to be with her husband who's the kohen, just like a yisraelis. The only time a yisraelis becomes usher to her husband's a yisrael is when she has relations willingly. If the Israelis is raped or something, she's allowed to remain with her husband. So the halacha is over there. So since we're always medame the halachas, at the end of the day, this relationship is usher. So once the relationship becomes usher, maybe we should taina that even though granted it was beyond our control, but still we don't have to pay the ksuba. Ain la ksuba. That was the first tzad. You wouldn't have to pay the ksuba because she is forced to divorce on her, even though it's something beyond her control. But still, it's something that it's her fault. Odilma Matzi Amrele, maybe the second side is that she could taina Anna Hachazina. I am inherently fit, since if I were married to a Yisrael, then I would be permitted to stay married to him. Turning on to Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, Vegavrihu Dinistaf Chasadeu. And it is you, my husband, whose field has become ruined. You lost your mazel is Loshon of Rashi, Mazel Chagaram, the Gemara's in Ksubis over there, that it's your bad mazel that caused me to come usher to you. Because of the fact that you have Kedushas Kahuna, and therefore you're like the person who has a field that gets flooded, that Hashem is punishing you. It's your own bad mazel, and therefore you can't be a potter from pain. So says the Gemara Varmina La, and we responded, our Papa was a Talmud apparently, of Rava, Masnisini, that this is a Mishnah, our Mishnah. That's why we're bringing up the Shaila. Ha'omeres Tmeya Ani Lecha, Yesh La Ksuba. If a wife says to her husband, I am tamei to you, so she has to get divorced from the husband, but she has the right to collect the ksuba. Now the Gemara says what we already said in the opening lines that I was quoting the Ran, was quoting the Gemara, but the Gemara is analyzing which case are we talking about where the woman says she's tamei aniach. B'mei askina, who are we dealing with in this Mishnah? Ilema be'eshes Yisrael. You're telling me that we're talking about a case of a Yisraelis. So then, what's the case? Ibiratzan, if she willingly had relations through adultery. So klum yesh laksuba, then pashut, she does not have any ksuba payment because she cheated on her husband. She loses her ksuba. That's pashut. V'ibe ones, and now if she was raped, mika mitzra al gavra, or she has another, it lav davka ones doesn't necessarily all have to be rape. It could also be, let's say she thought it was her husband. In the middle of the night, it was pitch black, and she didn't know it was somebody else. We're going to see that's the story. So that's also called ones. So in that case also, then mika mitzra al gavra, she's not usher to her husband. So why would he need a divorce anyway? So therefore, this Mishnah can't be talking about an Eishes Yisrael. So what are we talking about? Elevation's Kohen. It must be the Mishnah is talking about a case of a Kohen's wife. Now again, same question. Ibiratzon klum yesh laksuba. If it was done willingly, pashut, she's not getting her ksuba, so it can't be that case. Migar meish yisrael baratzon, because it would be no different than a case of Yisraelis who has relations willingly, who is obviously going to not get her ksuba. Elalav be'onimus. So lather, what is the Mishnah must be talking about? It must be talking about an Eishes Kohen, a Kohen's wife, who had relations unwillingly, and yet we still see Ktana Yesh Laksuba. And the Mishnah till tells us she has the right to collect her Ksuba. So we see a raya from our Mishnah that a Kohen's wife who has relations because she was forced to, or it was an onus, she would be forced to get divorced from her husband, but she would receive her Ksuba as the fact, because apparently we take the second side of this Chakira, we assume that Gavro din istav chasadeo, that the husband's field became ruined. It's his fault. It's his mazel that was gorem, the fact that his wife can no longer be with him anymore. So says the Gemara Bailu, they asked, Arma la Baila Gerishtani, if a wife tells her husband, you divorced me, and claims that she lost the get, she has no proof of the divorce, Mahu, what's the halacha? Should we believe their claim or not? That's the Shaila over here. So why would the basis for believing it is because we're going to see in the Gemara that she wouldn't be meiz in front of her husband. Amar Rav Himnuna, so Rav Himnuna says, Tashma, Ha'omer is Tmeila, I'll bring a riot from our Mishnah. The woman says, Tmei ani lacha, I am tamei to you. But even the Mishnah Achrona, which says she's not believed, unless she brings a raya l'dvareha, hasamu de mishakra. It's only in that case there where we assume that maybe she would lie. Diyada de bayla la yada ba, because she knows that this is something that her husband will never be able to corroborate whether that was true or not. He can't substantiate these claims. She'll never know, because so she's not afraid to lie about that over here. Aval gabi gerishtani, but when it comes to a case where she tells her husband, you divorced me, diyadaba, where she's lying straight in his face, like that's like the biggest chutzpah, mehemna, then she's going to believe, because the chazaka in isha me'iza panel b'fnei baila. There's a lot of chazaka that a woman wouldn't be so brazen to just lie in her husband's face to make a claim that she know that he knows in his face is false. So therefore, even according to our Mishnah, even the Mishnah Achrona would assume that in a case where she tainas this, the woman would be, in fact, believed, because she wouldn't be so brazen as to lie about such a thing. So therefore, she would be allowed to marry somebody else, even if she's unable to have any other proof that she was divorced. Some understand that if that's the case over here, that maybe it's also that the woman would believe only in regards to her marrying someone else is only bidyevet. Well, chachila poshut, she would not be allowed to remarry. That's the shita of other Rishon and the Ravid and others understand Ritva this is a din bidyevet, that if she already got married would allow her to stay married, but if she actually asked the Beis Din, we would not allow her to, because just the fact that she made this claim alone is not enough. It's very similar to, we have other kinds of chazaka da'az of being so brazen. The Gemara has this by the lashon of explaining why is it that if someone who's modeh b'miktzas ha'taina has to make a shvuah. So the Gemara comes on to, I think it's Rabbah, says that a chazaka ein adam meiz panav b'fnei bal chovo. That if you lent me $1,000, so I'm going to just spit in your face and deny the whole loan. You did me such a tova. I'm not going to lie to you. So what is it? So then I'm going to deny part of it, so I can at least claim, okay, I'll be able to pay back some of it right now. I'll be able to slowly pay you back, and then I'll pay you back the other half later. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not planning on stealing. I'm going to pay you back later, but I just don't want to, the Gemara has the same idea of Ha'az over there, that I would never deny the loan completely. So that actually, Chazak, is also why a person who's denying it might have some more, claim that he's actually telling the truth because of the fact that he's denying it. Okay. Anyway, this concept does exist in halacha, the concept of a person not being so brazen in her husband's face. And where's Amalei Rava Adarabba though? I'll bring you a raya, the opposite of what you just said. Afila la Mishnah Rishona Diktani Mehemna, that even according to the Mishnah Rishona, which says that the wife who claims that she had been tame is believed, we can assume Asa Mishum de Loa Vida la Bezuye Nashe. There is because she's not likely, well, she was disgracing herself by admitting to have being raped. That's a big, everyone's going to be talking about it, talk of the town. So that's why she's believed. Because there's a chazaka that she would never be lowering herself had it not been that what she was saying is emes. So therefore, that chazaka exists. However, hacha, the dezamne de takiflem in gavra, where sometimes she might be so angry at her husband that she would want to do this, me'iza, she would be brazen. You know, when divorces get messy or the husband is not giving the divorce, so then she would in fact deny the fact that she had been divorced. And even though that's something which is ha'aza, yeah, she over here is assumed that maybe she would be brazen enough to make such a claim. Now, even though Rava and Rafim Nuna both brought the Mishnah to Raya for their shitas, everyone would agree that the Mishnah's case originally for believing the wife's claim that she was tamei anilach was that no woman would ever be degrading herself unless it was actually true. Rava is just arguing that since this reason cannot be applied to the case of a divorce, there's no reason for believing that either. So that it wouldn't be the same halacha, that the woman wouldn't lie to her husband is unreliable since she might be angry enough to do so. Rav Imnuna is arguing, no, the same halacha that we apply in the case where she is degrading herself would be the same concept to be able to continue making that claim with regards to the fact that she has been divorced. So the Gemara asks on Rava, Mesiv Rav Masharshia, Rav Masharshia asks a kash on Rava. Hashemayim b'ni l'veincha, the Mishnah Rishonah to Yufta d'Rava, the case where he says, heaven is between me and you, that he's not able to properly have relations with her. So there, ha'ocha delays like kesufa, there, she's not embarrassed, she's claiming that he can't have relations properly, right? His zera is not yorek kechez, doesn't shoot out like an arrow, in which case he cannot impregnate her. And that was her taina, that she wants to have children who are able to take care of her when she's older. Viktani b'de mehemna. So there the Mishnah teaches us that she's believed. So we see that a woman is believed against her husband even when it's something that's not necessarily degrading her. So it doesn't need to be as Rava at taina, that it's only when it's degrading her as she believes. Because here, this isn't degrading her at all. And yet, she's believed. So the Gemara answers, no. Kasava Rava Hasam, Kevan de lo Sagile de lo Amra, Ein Yorek Echetz. that it's not enough unless she actually says, she has to explain to the Beis Din. She can't just say that Shemayim bini lanecha, they know that some issue with him. She actually has to tell the Beis Din beferush what the issue was that they were having. So that is something which obviously is very embarrassing for her, for her husband. Everybody's embarrassed by such a thing. So therefore, if it wasn't emes, she wouldn't have said it. If it not been true, such an embarrassing thing, she wouldn't try to make that claim, because it's a very embarrassing thing. Everyone's going to hear about it. So therefore, it must be that she's telling the truth there, and that's why it's not a kasha on Rava. That case also Rava can explain with the idea of being embarrassing. So says the Gemara now, a question on Rav Himnuna. Hashemayim bini leveinecha de Mishnah Achorna. The other way, the final ruling of the Mishnah, which says, where the wife tainas that there's issues between them in relations, that should be a kashan Rav Himnuna. Why? Because ha'halcha de yada hi ubala yada ba. Here, she knows whether or not her husband Zera is shooting like an arrow. And if she's lying about it, presumably he knows about it also. So v'ktana dilemna, yet the Mishnah tells us she's not believed. They don't say chazaka to ha'aza, that she wouldn't be so brazen as to claim this thing if it not been true. We see over here, she would be apparently brazen enough to lie about it, because the Mishnah assumes that she is lying. So the Gemara says, no, kasava Rav Himnuna ha'halcha nami, here also, it's not something which can be substantiated by the husband. He gufa amra nehi to be a yada. Now, and my husband obviously knows that he's having relations with me. However, biyorik echitz mi yada. Does he really know whether or not his zera is shooting like an arrow? Only she is able to figure out that. Only she's able to know that his zera is not shooting like an arrow. So since she's the only one to understand that, mishum halchi mishakra. Therefore, she would lie about it without fear that their husband is going to figure out that she, in fact, was lying about this. So that's what the Gemara is saying right now, that really, this is something also which can't be substantiated by the husband. The Rush, and really other Rishonim point this out as well, is that that's also, it's not really true, meaning in this is what she perceives. That yes, this is what she perceives at the end of the day, that he's not going to notice, but the Gemara in Yevamos tells us explicitly that the husband is able to realize that is Yorech Yichet. So this is like, at least just the Chazaka, this is what her thinking is, even though in the Metzias that's not true, the husband is able to discern whether or not Zera is Yorech Yichet. So Halakha Lamais is very interesting. The Ran understands that since Rav Himnuna is quoted all the time throughout the Gemara, we have Yevamos, Ksubas, Gittin, we assume that we should paskin like Rav Himnuna. The Rama is not so thrilled with that. That doesn't seem like we actually. But either way, the Rana is understanding that Rav Himnuna, that you would not lie brazenly. But the Ran points out though that if the woman is demanding her payment of a ksuba, then she would lose that demands for a divorce. That the husband, at that case, she would lose the right to she would lose the right for her ability to say that she had been divorced. We assume that she's lying in order to get her ksuba, and that would be something which she is presumed to lie about. Okay, now the Gemara is going to have a set of different for the rest of the Amud and then the rest of the Masechta here is interesting stories that happened. Ayita said there was a certain woman the Chol Yome de Tashmish. So when she would, on the day following that she would have bia with her husband, the husband, she would wash mikadme mashi yade legavre. She would wash his hands. That was apparently a thing that she would do. Yomachad aisele ma'ayel mashi. So she brought him water to wash his hands in the morning, and he was very confused. Amar la, he said to her, Hada milsa lo havisayidna. We didn't have relations last night, so why are you washing my hands? Amrelay, she responded, Im Kane, if it wasn't you, I had be with somebody. Chad min anachrim, turning on to the next stuff. Now, Ahale, someone must have been one of the perfume merchants that live in, that are here. Because the Havahachi Aina, they were here today. And I had be with somebody last night that I don't know who it was. I thought it was you, and it's not you. Iantlo dimaminu, if it wasn't you, maybe it was one of them. He was pretending to be my husband. Based on this, there was a shaila whether she was mutter to the husband. So now the Ran points out, obviously, it has to be that the husband was a Kohen, because if she's an Israelis, then it would be Ones. And we know Ones, the Israel, is Mutter, so it can't be that it was a Kohen. It couldn't be that it was an Israelis, it must have been a Kohen. So based on her statement, the question was whether or not she's Mutter to her husband. Amar of Nachman, Einin Aslo Be'achar. No, this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Chona. We assume, even in this case, she acted innocently by telling her this and washing the hands and getting to that. That was all a trick. There's no substance to what she's saying, that we rely on the Mishnah Achrona, that she made this up in order to be able to marry somebody else. She wasn't interested in her husband anymore. There was a certain woman who was very upset, like very serious looking with her husband. Amar la, he said to her, Aidna Maishna, why are you so serious? Amar la, Ma'olam Lotarsan Baderach Eretz Ki Aidna. I was in so much pain from having relations with you last night. Amar la, he said to her, lo ave adem milsay, no, I didn't have a relationship with you last night. Amar la, so she responded, it wasn't you, imkein, alin nachar neputin avinacha, it must have been that these goyim nafta sellers who are here today, those are the people that I had beer with, because I had beer with somebody. If it wasn't you, perhaps it was one of them who's pretending to be you. So then the same shayla came before Rav Nachman, Amar lo Rav Nachman, lo tishtachun bay, don't pay attention to her, and therefore we learn from here that a woman who is claiming these points, even if she had a different point that it started from, we still assume enea nasta ba'acher, and therefore she is lied about what happened. Says the Gemara, ahu garva davi maharzik beveisahu ve'inisa. There was a certain man who secluded himself in a house with the wife of the balabayas. Al asamari the basis of the balabayas, the person whose house it was, comes home. Parte no if lutzavarek. So the adulterer, like he ran through a palm thing in front of the husband and he ran away. So the question was whether or not we should be concerned that she was usher to him. So the Ron points out that at the end of the day, so by the way, first of all, he could have hid there. And the fact that he didn't, we're going to see in a moment, that might have an important point. But the Ron points out that it doesn't fit into either two things when a person is forced to divorce his wife. A, if there are edim that she has relations with somebody, or B, that she secluded herself with somebody that the husband warned her not to be, and then she'd be a sota asur labayla, or at least a sofik sota asur labayla. Here, she was just in seclusion. She's at yichud with this person. So there's no reason to assume that way. So the Ron assumes that maybe the husband was just being extra machber on himself. He wanted to be, he considered this a chumrah on himself, that he didn't want to be with her because that would be something he didn't think was shayach, because maybe she really had relations. So the Tosos, in another place, not over here, Tosos Yevamos and others, they explain very interestingly, no, that normally we say that a woman, that the woman admits it is actually not believed. And actually here she did admit it, Tosos Mekinu Kimta. They say, no, really, here we're talking about where Shitaka admitted it. Aye, so she admitted it, why don't, that's the Mishnah Achrona, we don't believe her, because, no, but here's the Reyesa, something which is a negative for her argument, because the fact that she was with this guy who was known to be this adulterer, so maybe here we actually should, in light of the circumstances, because of Raglayim Nadavar, assume that we should believe her. Fascinating Tosos, that's how they explain this Gemara over here. Amar Rava, itis ashari, the woman is permitted to her husband, imisa davar isur, because if it was true that the adulterer actually did do a sin, as we pointed out, that he should have hid over there. He knew that he was going to be seen by the husband when he was running out. He would have hidden from the husband, rather than allowing himself to be seen by escaping. So then, the halacha is that we don't assume that they had relations. That's what Rava is telling us. Says the Gemara Vayter, ahu no'if ta'al l'gabehi itasa. It was a certain adulterer, who everybody knew he was an adulterous guy. He entered the house of a woman. Asa garve, her husband came home. Salik no'if, so then the adulterer ran. He actually did hide over here. He hid in a doorway to hide. So there was a type of like crest that was lying over there in the room that a poisonous snake had tasted while the balabais was away. So the homeowner wanted to eat some of the crest without the wife's knowledge. The wife wasn't noticing what was going on. So the adulterer saw that he was about to have this poisonous thing. So, lo tichol minu and titaminu chivya. Don't eat it. The snake had at it. It's poisonous. You're going to die. So now the Gemara says, normally we'd assume that she first had relations with this guy who was hiding there. Over here though, Amarava, intse sharia. His wife is permitted to him. Im isa de avidi surah. Because had he in fact actually committed the sin, then nichole de lecholimus. He wanted this husband to die. And greatly, he'll have to be with his wife forever. So the chsiv, as the pasuk says, kinafu v'dam bidehim. This pasuk is talking about in Yechezkel, talking about in the times of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, that people that would they would take married women that have adulterous relationships, and then they would murder their husbands. So we see from over here that adulterer is choshed on wanting to have the husband of this woman die. So the Shita B'Kometz point out over here, we don't assume that every single adulterer is also suspect of attempted murder, and we could just like try him for attempted murder, and we don't even know. No. Here, we certainly don't assume, though, that he's going to go out of his way to save the person. He wasn't murdering him. This guy was having his own poison on his own. He wasn't doing anything. So I need to put the poison there. So this guy knew about it, and he was saving him. The fact that he went out of his way to save him, then we could assume he's not really a real adulterer. He didn't have relations with her. The Gemara says, pshita, that a true adulterer would have let the guy die and let him marry this wife. So the Gemara says, mao desi, my sura avad, I would have said that the adulterer did actually commit the sin of adultery. V'hai damar lei, that he told the husband in order to save him, because I would have thought, this again, it's a havamina, we're going to reject this havamina, but in Nechale, the lo, lemos bal, I want the husband not to die. Why? Because the havi intasa, aliyah, mayim, geduvim, imtaku, velechem, star, minoyim. That the wife should be, to the adulterer, stolen waters, which are considered sweeter. We have this idea that it's more the thrill of violating a savira, the thrill of doing it, gives a person an extra cheshek. Like, theoretically, I say, like, if you're allowed to drive 150 miles an hour, I think, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be driving that much. But the people who do it, who are driving 100 miles on the highway, they like the thrill of knowing they're violating the law, they're going so fast. That's Mayim Gedavim Mitaku. So I would have had this havamina that he dafka wants her to be married to him in order that they can continue to have this scandalous relationship. So the Gemara says, Kamash Milan, therefore Rava is teaching us that this is not the case. Rather, we assume that a true adulterer would have let the guy die. He would never have saved him. And therefore, the fact that he did it, he was not, in fact, guilty. With that, we finish Hajalach Eilu Nadarim, Slichach Masechet Nadarim. So we finished the Masechet over here. It's very exciting. I always encourage everybody, have a nice big meet Seuda, invite your friends. It's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Make a big party for 3 months. If you're working hard in Masechet Nadarim, B'siyat HaShemayah, tomorrow we'll pick up with Masechet Nazir.